Good morning, and Pastor Dennis is on a well-deserved break. So we're very honored and pleased to have Pastor Toby Yuan with us today. Pastor Toby is the youth pastor for the Bay Area Chinese Bible Church. And just a little fact about him, he's an avid sports fan, especially on the 49ers and A's. So if you have a chance to go see the A's game, sometime you'll catch him on the Jumbotron. I don't know how many foul ball he's caught, but with only about, 200 people per game that are attending, he probably wanted 200, right? So please take this opportunity and welcome Pastor Toby to share his message with us.
Oh, man. Unfortunately, most everything he said was true. Well, good morning. Good morning. I want to welcome you guys to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. As you guys are turning, I'm going to take a little bit of time to introduce myself to you guys. As Alan said, my name is Toby. I am the youth pastor at Bay Area Chinese Bible Church in Alameda, and I'm super grateful and excited to be here this morning. I feel like it's very interesting how I have a connection to this church, and especially the pastors here. Pastor Josh, his wife, Melissa, her and I grew up 12 years together, going through kindergarten through high school at the same school. But even more so, I would say I like to have a very direct connection with Pastor Dennis. And I like to say that I have a direct, what's the word? I have a very direct connection and relation to why he is serving here in the Bay Area. For those who don't know, I was the one who introduced Dennis to Dana. While Dennis was in seminary, I can say all this because he's not here. While Dennis was still in seminary, he had to find an internship at a church. And I don't know how he came across our church, but he looked up and served at our church for one summer. Well, since he needed a place to stay for a couple months, and I was living by myself, my parents were missionaries in China at the time, my senior pastor, Steve Quinn, said, "Hey, Toby, would you mind if, you know, our intern for the summer stayed with you? You have extra rooms and everything." I was like, "Yeah, sure, that's fine." And so Dennis and I were housemates. And since he stayed with me, he hung around my friends, one of which was Dana. Dana and I went to high school, college, were very close friends during that time. And it was during that summer, one night, he came over to my room and he said, "Hey, Toby, can you tell me a little bit about Dana?" And I was like, "I can." And in my mind, I'm like, why are you asking about her? But, you know, of course, I only had great, wonderful things to say about my dear friend Dana. And so they started dating. And to be honest, I didn't think it was going to work out between them in the very beginning. But I'm so glad that it did. I'm so glad that he married her. I'm so glad that he's able to serve here and be a youth pastor in the Bay Area. It's so good for me to have pastor friends in the Bay Area to share our ups and downs of ministry, because it's not easy. It's not easy to be a youth pastor in 2018. It's not easy to be a youth pastor in 2018 because the generation that is growing up now, I believe, faces more challenges than ever before. Young people nowadays are unique and very special because since birth, they have grown up online. Since birth, they have grown up online. Our youth nowadays don't know a time when connecting to other people over the internet did not exist. Think about that. Social media has shaped their lives, sometimes in negative ways, but sometimes in positive ways as well. Social media can be a very good thing because when you experience something awesome, you get to share it with other people instantly. Next slide, please. We do this all the time on social media. Something happens. We tweet out our latest happenings. We snap our hangouts with our friends. We post videos at sporting events. We take pictures of our delicious meals. Why? Because we love to share our experiences with others. I remember when I was a kid, and as Alan said here, as you said, I am an avid Oakland A's fan. And growing up as a kid, I remember there was this time a long time ago when both the A's and Giants were both good teams at the same time. And it was during that year in 1989 when the Oakland A's made it to the World Series to face the San Francisco Giants. And I grew up just loving baseball. That was actually my first sport that I truly loved before I ever loved the Niners. And when I loved the A's, and my mom knew it, whenever the A's won their division, and they won the conference, or when they won the World Series, she would go out at night, after she put myself and my brother to bed, she would go out and buy the championship flag or t-shirt or whatever it was. And while we were already sleeping, she would probably go out at midnight and just hang it up and stick it up somewhere in our house, in our living room. And the next morning, she would wake me and my brother up. She would be like, Toby, wake up. I have a surprise for you. And as a little boy, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-old boy, I would go out to the living room and I would see it hanging there. And I was like, oh! And they got me so happy. They got me so elated and just joyful. And I loved my mom for doing it. She doesn't even love baseball. She couldn't care less about the Oakland A's. She's only been to like 2 games her entire life. But yet because she knew I loved baseball, my brother and I liked baseball, she went out and bought these flags for us and hung it up there. And the next day at school, my brother and I would go to school and be like, my mom bought this for us. My mom bought that for us. We were so excited. We couldn't help but share the experience with our friends on the school bus or in class or on the playground. We couldn't help but share that experience with others. You know, when you experience something awesome, it's worth telling others about. When you experience something awesome, it's worth telling others about. And that's exactly what John tries to do as he starts off this letter. Not that he wants people to know about his mom, but he wants people to know about his Jesus. He wants people to know Jesus the way he knew Jesus. And his whole goal was simple: to proclaim who Jesus was. And to proclaim him so that others would join him in his fellowship with Christ. My pastor at my church, Pastor Dana Chow, he said this. He goes, know God, know eternal life. But if you know God, you will know eternal life. Let's go ahead and read 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says this. I'm reading out of the ESV. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. And we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. In this first verse, we see that whatever John is trying to get across to his listeners, to his readers, it's something that he personally experienced himself. And it's something that required at least 3 of his 5 senses. Let's go to the next slide, please. He writes, we have heard, we have seen, and we have touched. We have heard, we have seen, we have touched. Who did John see, hear, and touch? Who did he have a personal experience with? It says at the end of this verse that he had an experience with, the next slide says, the Word of Life. The Word of Life, being Jesus Christ Himself. Right, at the start of this letter, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have touched. Who is the we that these verses are talking about? The we are the disciples and John. Not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle, the one who wrote the 4th Gospel of the New Testament. One of Jesus' 12 disciples, the beloved disciple, as the Bible says. John was the disciple that was closest to Jesus. John was the one that was reclined next to Jesus during the Last Supper. John was the one that stood below the cross when he was crucified. John was the one Jesus entrusted his mother Mary to before he died. And when Jesus resurrected, John was one of 2 men who appeared and witnessed the empty tomb that first Easter morning. And after Jesus' resurrection, after he came back to life, it was this John who shared a lakeside picnic with Jesus and his disciples on a beach. It's because of all these personal interactions, because he saw him, because he heard him, because he touched him, John is highly qualified to write. John is highly qualified to write about what he and his fellow disciples heard, saw, and touched. I think it's very interesting how the book of 1 John and the Gospel of John both start out with the same theme. They both start with the same exact theme, which is Jesus' timelessness. The fact that Jesus existed before anything in this earth was created. Think about it. Go to the next slide, please. In the Gospel of John, I don't know, is that too small for you guys? The Gospel of John 1:1, famous passage, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," right? The Word being Jesus Christ. Verse 2-4, it continues on. It says, "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and